I want us to have two readings this evening, and I want to take the first one at this point. And I want us to read from the book of Numbers and chapter 13. Numbers and chapter 13. And we'll break in to read at verse 26. And we're going to read to verse 10 of chapter 14. Numbers chapter 13 and at verse 26. And they went and came to Moses. This is the return report of the spies that went out. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, who come of the giants, and we were in their sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make captain and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Amen. We continue our worship, coming this time to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. And the second version of that psalm, and at verse 13. Psalm 102, and we're singing verses 13 to 18 of the second version. Thou shalt arise and mercy, yet thou to Mount Zion shalt extend. Her time for favour which was set, behold, is now come to an end. Thy saints take pleasure in her stones, her very dust to them is dear. All heathen lands and kingly thrones on earth thy glorious name shall fear. God in his glory shall appear when Zion he builds and repairs. He shall regard and lend his ear unto the needy's humble prayers. The afflicted prayer he will not scorn. All times this shall be on record, and generations yet unborn shall praise and magnify the Lord. 102 from 13 through to 18, thou shalt arise. Now we come to our second reading tonight, and I want to come to the book of Deuteronomy. the book of Deuteronomy, the very first chapter of that book, and we're going to break in to read from verse 19. The book of Deuteronomy and verse 19. It covers the same incident and experience as we read there a moment ago in Numbers 13, but it puts a different and a insight into what happened and why it happened there. Deuteronomy 1, chapter 1, verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way, of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy God, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by which way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And this saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the vine they took the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hateth us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God who goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to put your tent in fire by night, to show you by which way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither, but Joshua the son of Nun, who standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, who you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and to them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapon of war, we were ready to go up unto the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give us understanding in these readings of his own holy word. Psalm 32, as we offer our praise, this time using the last four verses of that psalm, Psalm 32 at 8. I will instruct thee and thee teach the way that thou shalt go. And with mine eye upon thee set, I will direction show. Then be not like the horse or mule, which do not understand, whose mouth, lest they come near to thee, a bridle must command. And to the man that wicked is, his sorrow shall abound. But him that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass round. Ye righteous in the Lord, be glad in him. Do ye rejoice, all ye that upright are in heart, for joy lift up your voice. These words which help us to understand just what we've been reading about the behavior of the people at Kadesh Barnea. Psalm 32 then, at 8 through to the end, I will instruct thee. I want this evening to turn to the second of these readings we had from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and all of the experience that is given to us there about their visit at Kadesh Barnea, the decision that they made and the consequences of it, but also the subsequent action when they thought that they could go up at their own beck and call, convenient with themselves, to fight. And the Lord said, don't go up. I'm not with you. And the one particular lesson I want to take out of these two readings, and especially of our meditation tonight, is simply this. Just how important obedience really is. How important obedience really is. Immediately the Lord requires it from us. There are different places in the Bible and Scripture, especially perhaps in the prophecy of Isaiah, where key moments in our life are set for us. They are set under the image of a crossroads. And there are two ways at the crossroads, and one or the other has to be chosen and to be travelled along. We are, in that kind of situation, confronted with a crucial opportunity. A decisive moment where whatever we decide has consequences that run right down the path of life we've chosen, following us, having consequences that bear down upon us time after time after time. The outcome of a moment casts a shadow that is measured in years. The outcome of a moment casts a shadow measured in years. That is what we have here in the episode before us at Kadesh Barnea, given in Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want us simply to look at it, to see the lessons that we can get and the things that are taught us there that apply to ourselves, because here tonight and whenever we're exposed to this gospel, we are at the same picture. We are in a crucial situation and setting. We have that glorious opportunity of hearing the gospel again. And the outcome of a moment casts a shadow measured in years. Yes, and even in more than years. So then let's come to these words and this episode before us here tonight. And the first thing I want us to think of is the Lord sets before them and before us in the gospel, he sets a sure venture. He sets a sure venture. The Lord said to these people, go up and possess it, for the Lord has given it to you. Nothing could be sure and more certain than that. That's what we have given to us in the verses from 19 onwards. These people, they came out of Egypt and the Lord took them to Sinai. Other words given for it is Horeb. And they were there for some time as the Lord taught them and instructed them. And then the Lord moved them on from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. We're told in the second verse of this chapter, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb to that place called Kadesh Barnea. 11 days they were walking as a nation on the move. It was about 100 miles. They were walking no more than 10 miles a day. But nevertheless, when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they would have been tired. But for them, the worst was over. They were now coming to the very edge of the promised land. We're told here that they had to go through the land on the mountain of the Amorites. Verse 20 tells us that. And they were, in one way, scared of that prospect. They had no experience of fighting. They had no experience of battles. They were, after all, a nation and a people that had just been liberated out of slavery in Egypt, where they had been for generations. So they were afraid. Afraid of defeat. They were anxious as they came to Kadesh Barnea. That kind of fear and anxiety comes to us all. We might face a situation which produces it. We might have to go through an experience at work, in our family, in our community, to stand or speak or whatever, and we're scared stiff. It may intimidate us. It may disturb us and unsettle us. We're not promised, neither are we guaranteed, that we're given a green channel to heaven. That's not the way the Lord works with his people. The difference is how we handle it. How do we handle these experiences that come upon us as that came upon them when they were afraid coming to the land and the border? Yes, they were going to face a physical challenge. They had come 100 miles so far in 11 days. They are now to go through the mountains and eventually cross the Jordan and come into the land of promise. There was still a physical challenge for them. But far more important than that, there was a spiritual crisis that they had to face. A spiritual crisis which comes down all the years to ourselves as well. How do we handle it? That's what makes the difference. How do we look at things and how do we read things? There was a sure venture. We can cope with these anxieties. We can overcome them when we do three things that are given to us here. First thing is, we see that this sure venture is God's gift to them. Verse 20 gives it to us plain and simple. I said to you, you are come to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord your God doth give unto us. No doubt about it. This is God's gift to his people. And it's a wonderful way of looking at it. It's God's gift to us before it becomes any threat to us. It's God's gift to us before it becomes any threat to us. We can trace his hand in giving it to us. We can pick up on his presence and his care as we go through whatever is in store for us. He knows us all. And he knows all that is involved as we go through, experience and enjoy and taste the gift that he gives us. When God gives us gift, there's nothing unforeseen either in the giving or in the consequences. There's nothing inadequate. There's nothing left out. He knows what he is doing when he gives and how much he gives to every one of us. God is the God of wisdom, perfect wisdom, and love and affection to his people. And all of these features and characteristics come into effect and can be seen all the more clearly and simply, especially so in the gifts that he gives to his people. And so therefore we've got to look at verse 21 before we reach verse 28. The Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Whereas in verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are greater and walled up. We've seen the sons of the Anakim there. Before there's any threat, we've got to see the gift as coming in his love to his people. A sure venture, we overcome the anxieties when we trace the hand that gives. But the second way in which we can go through this sure venture and overcome these anxieties is listening not only to God's gift, but listening to God's word. Plain and simple are the instructions given to us in verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up, possess it. How often when we're bewildered, unsure, sometimes we're afraid and scared, sometimes we can be in severe doubts. A whole range of experiences come upon the Christian. Whenever we're in any one of them or more of them together, the one defense that we have that we can deploy, the one sure defense we can go to is, God has said it. We have his promises. We have the demonstration of the Lord in the past, in the way in which he has been a God to his people. We can take God at his word, time after time, with a firm assurance that it is a good foundation on which to stand. And that's what these people could do when they go through and enjoy and experience this sure venture. And especially we see the way in which the experience of God's people reinforces it and comes back to us in verse 21. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. You know, sometimes we've got the truth that God gives us, the principles, the promises, the presence of God given to us and assured to us in the Bible. But sometimes we can be that bit weak. And sometimes we look for a flesh and blood example of these very things that we can identify with. Yes, God has said it. But sometimes we look for somebody who's taken what God has said and trusted in it, and we can follow them because of that flesh and blood example we've got. So here they're encouraged. Look back at your fathers. Sometimes in our anxieties we screw up our eyes and we peer into the future. And we're looking for something that will help us, encourage us, something that will make sense of what we're going through. People will tell us, keep looking ahead. And whatever you do, they'll say to us, whatever you do, don't look back. But that's the very thing that the Lord is saying to his people. Look get the experience of your fathers. There's a consistency in the way the Lord has promised and fulfilled what he has promised that goes right back to the days of Abraham. Goes right back to Abraham, the father of the nation and the people. And back then, we saw it just in our studies in the life of Abraham. Back then, it was hard to see how anything would be fulfilled at all of what the Lord had promised. Here he is, one man on his own. And his wife is past childbearing. How are they going to have a family? How are they going to be the father of a great nation? But they believed, struggling as they were with the promises, and we looked at it, but they believed, and it eventually happened for them. They believed God's word. The experience of your fathers, they trusted. So therefore, what the Lord is saying to these people at Kadesh Barnea is, you behave just like they did. You trust. You rely the fathers before you. They trusted in the same God as you now have before you. You trust them. You behave like them. You go forward. God has not failed in any of your lives. Look back over all the years. And there's been that constancy, faithfulness of God. Just read again verse 19 in that way. When we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites. Why did they go that way? As the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. They obeyed at that point. So therefore, why? Why do you think now that God is going to let you down? Why do you think now that God is going to be inconsistent? You've got all these years, you've got all that testimony, you've got all these promises to encourage you to go forward, trusting in what he has said. Yes, think of God's gift, think of God's word, and then one last thought about this sure venture that is before them. Think of God's mercy. He was aware of what they were going through. He was aware of what they were thinking. God is no God that stands back at a distance, aloof from the feelings of his people when he tells them what to do. He comes down beside his people. He meets them in their need, and he speaks and he says these words, "Fear not. Fear not." They might be terrified. And so what they suggest, send out a recce party. Send out a search party. And Moses agrees. The Lord agrees. The Lord sanctions it. The mercy of the Lord in dealing with them, with all of their fears and their doubts. And they come back with this great and glowing report. And they've got something to tell. And they've got something to show. It's a good land. Look at the grapes we've taken back. This is a sure venture. Surely nothing is going to prevent us from going into it. So yes, that's the background we've got here. This sure venture. But if that's the first thing we see here, we've got to overlay it with something else that comes to us with a simple phrase in verse 26. Notwithstanding. Nevertheless, this sure venture, what reaction was it from the people? There was a stubborn heart. You would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. When you go through what we have in these verses, you've got a whole catalogue of faults and failings with these people that can show why they were stubborn in their hearts. Verse 27, they misunderstood things. Verse 28, there was fear and panic came upon them. Where we go? The Ammonites are going to get us. Verse 32, simple unbelief. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. These people were prepared to paint the darkest picture possible. Full of delusions and full of falsehoods, but they were prepared to paint the darkest picture possible. Stubborn hearts. Two simple things we can use to bring that stubborn nature out. They refuse to listen, and they refuse to look. First of all, they refused to listen. As they thought through what was happening to them there, remember we said there was this misunderstanding? As they thought through what happened there, the conclusion they came to is given to us in verse 27. The Lord hates us. That's the way they thought it out. The Lord hates us. Nothing could have been further from the truth. All you've got to do is go forward a few chapters to chapter 4. And we read there in verse 37. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, great and mighty than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and on the earth beneath, and there is none else. He loved your fathers. They thought that he hated. Nothing was further from the truth. Not only that, we find fear and panic because they say, oh, we're going to be defeated and we're going to be destroyed. That's what's going to be the outcome of this venture. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. We're told there in verse 27 of the way in which the Lord says, as I fought with the Egyptians and I delivered you out of Egypt, that's the way it's going to be here again. The Lord is going to fight for you. Into the hands of the Amorites, nothing could be further from the truth. He's going to give them victories, and he's going to give them blessings. Stubborn hearts, deluded in their behavior and in their reaction. We read there back in Numbers chapter 13, the way in which the report of the 10 came back and they spoke, yes, about all the riches of that valley. But they says, nevertheless, all these cities, all these walls, all these giants, they were listening to the teachings of men when they ought to be listening to the words of God. Stubborn hearts. Misunderstandings and distortions still. That's what the devil does every day. Twists things around for us, puts the spin downwards on everything of the Lord's actions and the Lord's promises. The way which the Lord will twist things around time after time with us. And so therefore we've got to protect our minds. The way we think. We've got to make sure that our minds are furnished with gospel principles. We've got to make sure that our minds are fed with gospel evidence. They brought the grapes back. They told them of what the riches of the land were. They should have thought things through using what God had said, the sure venture that he had set before them, the evidence that they had gathered. If they had thought these things through, then they would have indeed gone over it there and then. But they were not going to listen. They were stubborn in their hearts. How we need to be careful how we think. We need to be careful to constantly feed our minds upon God's goodness to us. Is that not what Paul tells us in Romans 12 and 1? Don't let the world squeeze you into this shape. Don't let the world press you into thinking like they think. But let your minds be renewed. And what does he say will do that for you? When you think about the mercies of God. Like we said, have your minds furnished and set out with great principles, great evidences of God's goodness to you. And whenever you've got to think of something, think of them with these principles in place. So yes, they refuse to listen. But not only that, we're told that they refuse to look. They were fixing their minds upon the size of the men. They were giants. They were fixing their minds on the thickness of the walls that stretched up to the heavens. We're told there in chapter 13, the very last portion of chapter 13 and 14 in Numbers, we were in their sight. What did we think of ourselves? We were like grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers. Because they were looking in the wrong places. We were thinking this morning about Psalm 124. And particularly we were saying, whenever the Lord takes to the field, whenever the Lord comes into the picture, things are different. And so it is here. What should they have been looking at? Look at the way in which the Lord was going to conquer things. The Lord was going to conquer them, the Amorites for them. We're told, you are going to go in and possess the land. But even before you put a foot on that ground, the Lord is going before you. He will meet them who are going to threaten you. And he's going to deal with them as he dealt with the people in Egypt. This is the conquering Lord who goes in front of his people there and now. And the things that we might think of as a threat often just simply melt away. They saw it for themselves. They knew it for themselves. They knew what God did for them there. And so they knew that God was on their side and his power was operating for them. Would God let them down now? They refused to look at that picture of the conquering Lord. But not only that, there's also another picture given to us here of a caring father. A caring father. In the wilderness, every single day, for 40 years, God cared for their basic needs. They never ran out of a cloth for their back or a shoe for their foot. They never ran out of food for their table. They never ran out of anything of God's basic needs. That was the Lord acting as a father to them. You read about it particularly in verse 31. In the wilderness, where you've seen how the Lord your God carried you. That's what he did. He carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came here. What an amazing, what an astonishing truth that is. God carrying you all these 40 years, caring for you as a father. Conquering Lord, caring father. Third thing he tells them, and the picture that they weren't going to listen and look at, God was carefully guiding them. He went before you, verse 33. He went to search out a place to put your tent in, and fire by night to show you by which way you should go, and in a cloud by day. God was always there at point duty in front. God was always the advance party for these people on the way. The pillar moved and showed them the best way forward, through the dangers, around the problems, avoiding the threats. The riches of God's attachment, commitment, relationship with these people, the way in which he was, yes, a conqueror, yes, he was a carer, yes, he was a careful guide, the piling up of the debt upon these people, and yet what did they do? With stubborn hearts, they rebelled. So yes, we've got the sure venture. Yes, we've got the stubborn hearts. What's the third thing I want us to think of here? The third thing is they have a squandered opportunity. We've lingered upon, quite deliberately so, the lavish colours of the picture that is given us of God's care for these people. The way in which God was so rich, consistent and persistent in caring for them, promising them, giving them encouragements time after time. How did they respond? They would not believe. They would not trust in the Lord. So therefore, there are consequences given in verse 34. The Lord heard the voice of your words, and he was angry and said, you're not going in. You're not going in. Today we said it this morning, but we repeat it now. Today we quickly accept the picture of God given to us of his riches and of his abundant provision for his people. The way in which the Lord liberally pours out of his abundant resources upon us all. He comes, he meets us with his arms full. He spreads a table replete with good things. He invites us to come and partake of that table. And we enjoy the experience of such provision. But there is a responsibility attached to these good things he gives to us. He looks for a priority, a commitment. He looks for that effect upon all of all these things upon us. He did the provision for them, 40 years, carrying them, providing for them. And yet, they would not enter. They wouldn't even see it. Oh yes, a squandered opportunity. What were they saying to justify their behavior? Oh, we've got good reason for what we're saying. We've got good reason for what we're doing. Look at the way in which our young ones, they would be a prey, we're told. Verse 39, they're going to be a prey to these Amorites. In their thousands they'll be lost, with nobody to protect them. And they tried to cover up their sin by their concern with others. But the Lord turns that argument right round upon them. And they've squandered the opportunity. And the Lord's saying to these people, these young ones, the ones that you're so concerned about, they are the very ones that are going to possess the land. They're going to build homes. They're going to dig fields in the very spot their parents thought that they were going to dig graves. They were going to dig fields in the very spot their parents thought that they were going to dig graves. Fears that they had never came, were never materialized. Fears that they had, concerns for young ones. When the full picture is given, when the Lord God is on the field, when the Lord is in the life fulfilling his plans, when the Lord is there taken at face value, the anxieties about the future are scattered. The Lord keeps the person who trusts in him. We're told by Isaiah, the Lord keeps him in perfect peace as he stays his hope upon the Lord. Yes, the young ones, that they thought were going to be lost were the ones that were going to inherit. But what about other ones? There were two older ones also. They're involved. Caleb and Joshua. They honored the Lord. But they had to wait 40 years before they entered in. Caleb comes, especially at this time, with the same realistic report as the rest of them brought in. But he added the vital dimension of the Lord being able to help them. Despite the problems, the Lord was there to help them. What was the quality about Caleb that stands out? We're told it here in verse 36. He wholly followed the Lord. We're told that he had a different spirit within him. If you go back just to read Joshua chapter 14, you'll find time after time after time in that chapter, the Lord highlighting this quality. He was wholehearted in his following of the Lord. He was absolutely convinced that the Lord would do what the Lord had said. But what about all the others? Leaving the young ones, leave these two to one side. What about all the rest of the nation? We're told that they went into the wilderness. Oh, they were utterly perverse. They were utterly perverse in the way they behaved and responded to the Lord. Just listen to the things that come out here. The Lord said, go. And they refused. Then the Lord says, don't go. But now they insist on going. The Lord says, it's a promised land. But they says, no, we're not going in. Then the Lord says, it's a forbidden land. And they turn and they says, but we're going in. The one time they were not listening to what the Lord spoke to them. But now when they spoke, the Lord was not listening to them. They were so perverse in the way they behaved and the way they responded to what the Lord had said. If he said black, they would say white. They were so thrown and perverse. Not only that, but they were even presumptuous. We're told there, in verse 43, the very end of it, they went up presumptuously into the hill. Oh yes, what will they do? Oh, there was something about their arrogance. It doesn't really matter when we do it, as long as we obey what the Lord says. They thought that the Lord would accept them without any delay. They were full of a sense of their own importance. Choose a few simple words in verse 41. We've sinned against the Lord. Let's now get on our armor and let's go in and fight. They thought that what they said would overrule what they did. They thought that the Lord would accept them just as they came in that way. But that's not the way of the Lord. They had squandered the opportunity that they were given. They knew what God was like. They knew his character. They knew that he was a God of holiness, that he gives warnings, that he requires obedience when he speaks. And they thought they could get away with it. Squandering the opportunity the Lord had given. You remember what is said to us in Matthew chapter 7. Sermon on the Mount. And people come and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and have we not done that? And the Lord says, I never knew you. Words are not enough. We need right actions. And we need right attitudes. We need that love and commitment and devotion to the Lord as we are conscious of what he has done for us. Obedience isn't something that we can negotiate Obedience is not something that's pick and mix. Obedience is not something that, well, we'll do it maybe today or tomorrow or such like. No. The opportunity is now, is the day of salvation. Now is the word sent before us. Now is the opportunity. Remember Paul, he preached to Felix. He preached a tremendous sermon to Felix, and Felix was so scared, his knees were knocking. And yet Felix turns and says, I'll hear you later on. I'll hear you at a convenient season, Paul. Now that just doesn't square up with the Lord. That's not the way the Lord works. Yes, we're told here a simple lesson. Just how important obedience really is. It has tremendous consequences and effects running right through our life, death, and beyond. They were here going up into the land. They were there and they were calling out to the Lord. And what does the Lord say to them? I spoke to you and you wouldn't listen. Now that you're speaking to me, I'm not listening. What a fearful consequence that is. What a squandered opportunity that is. What a lesson for ourselves. That we pay attention and weigh up what the Lord says to us every time we come and hear the gospel message. Just how important obedience really is. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless thy name for thy gracious dealings with us and the opportunity given to us here this evening to hear thy word once again. The glorious displays of thy grace and thy mercies to us, the claims that come side by side with them, and the warnings from the lives of others as to how we respond and react to these things set in our lives. Lord, may these truths not be lost from us or disturbed in any way by our involvement in the week to come. May there be no distraction or dilution, but in quiet moments may we hear once again thy voice speak of things spiritual to our souls. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and at verse 59. I thought upon my former ways and did my life well try. And to thy testimonies pure my feet then turned I. I did not stay nor linger long as those that slothful are. But hastily thy laws to keep myself I did repair. Bands of all men me robbed, yet I thy precepts did not slight. I rise at midnight thee to praise, even for thy judgments right. I am companion to all those who fear and thee obey. O Lord, thy mercy fills the earth. Teach me thy laws, I pray. Psalm 119 at 59, I thought upon my former ways. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son,